if we confess our sins. Now, this is that scripture that Dave talked about a while ago. This is the most wonderful thing of grace that there ever was. If we could, if, big word, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, see, when we go back to those pictures out there on the wall, the night, the day that Sally, the mother, confessed her sin to her husband and to God, He forgave her, her husband forgave her, and then after that, the next prayer got that little girl completely, totally healed in a matter of days. Now then, is it nice to have 1 John 1:9? Yes. Do we all need 1 John 1:9? We shouldn't need 1 John 1:9. We shouldn't. But unfortunately, we do. Now then, let's go ahead and see what happens in the next verse, 1 John 2. 1 John 2, verses 1. Okay. My little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. Now, wait a minute. He just said a while ago that we had sin. But now He's telling us He's writing these things so that we do what? Sin not. So that sounds like there's a conflict here, doesn't there? Well, let me ask you this question. How many of you, well, let's read a little bit more and then we'll say that. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, and He is the propitiation or the atonement for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Now then, when you're born and you come along in life, how many of us can get to the point where we're ready to accept Jesus as Lord and Savior and have never sinned? None. You're absolutely right, Tom. We can't even come close. We have sinned probably thousands of times. If we're 20 years old and we got saved, man, we have committed everything. Murder, adultery, you name it, we've done it. Because under the new covenant, if you just look at a woman to lust for her, you're guilty of being an adulterer. Now, I know that nobody's ever done that but me. You know, when I was a young man, you know, like I say, when you're young, well, you can get even be older and, you know, still think things like that. But like I told all the young girls, dress appropriately, young girls. Cover your body up. Don't run around in a dress that's cut down like this and about this long. Because if you do, I said there's three things on a man's mind. Sex, sex, and sex. That's what's on a man's mind. Every man, he's thinking about sex. Especially when he's under 40 or 50 years old. You know, I mean, it's just the way God made us, you know. And so if you want to keep the man's mind off of sex, you need to dress appropriately and cover yourself up. If the women cover themselves up and dress appropriately, then he may not be quite so concerned. But if you're half naked, you know, and some women do dress like that. Y'all know that? I mean, some women, you know, they dress so that if they lean over like this, you can see all the way to the floor, you know. I mean, I've seen them just like that. Haven't you?
Yeah.
It's a shame that they dress like that, right, Terry?
Yeah.
But some of them do, you know. And so, anyway, that's what really, a man is turned on by what he sees. Women are not. Most women are not. It's rare that you find a woman that's turned on by what she sees. But men are. That's just the way God made them. So, it says here, my little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. Now, 1 John 1:9, is that for the lost sinner? Is that verse for the lost sinner? No. That's not for the lost sinner. I mean, Jesus Christ, until when you get saved, when you accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, He redeems you from sin. In other words, when you got saved, you don't even know how many sins you committed. Did you, Tom? I didn't either. I had no idea. Although I was only 11. But think, what if I'd have been 20 or 30 or 40 and I got saved? Why, there'd been so many sins in my life, I couldn't even begin to think of all of them. So 1 John 1:9 is not for the lost person. 1 John 1:9 is for the saved person. But it shouldn't be that way. We should not have to ask God to forgive us. We learned just a few minutes ago that if we walk in grace on this little narrow platform way up here, what is it that cleanses us continuously from all sin? The blood. The blood of Jesus continuously cleanses you from all sin when you walk holy and obedient to His Word on this law, on the level of grace. Now then, if you sin, of course the enemy will come by and put thoughts in your mind. You know, he'll distract you and try to get you to look off and step off of this pathway. And unfortunately, all of us do this. It should not be the case, but it is. Well, when we step off of this pathway of grace and we fall back under the law, what do we need to get back up on the walkway? 1 John 1:9. That's when we use 1 John 1:9. 1 John 1:9 is for the Christian. It is not for the lost world. The lost world, to get their sins washed away, what do they have to do? They have to come to Christ. They have to accept Him as Lord and Savior. When they accept Him as Lord and Savior, they get washed in the blood and they become a new creature just like you did. And then after that, if you're a Christian, then John is telling us, look, he says, and He is a propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. Verse 3 and 4. And hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now this is how you know if you're a child of God. He that saith, I know Him, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now that just couldn't be no clearer. In other words, I know Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But I divorced my wife, or I got all upset with her a few weeks ago, so I kicked her out of the house. And now then I just found a pretty young lady, or so I'm just going to move in with her for a few days. You see any problem with that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you see a problem with that? Well, I mean, gee whiz, but I want to have fun, Betty. You know, why should that be a problem, huh? If me and her consent, if she consents, okay. I say I'm a Christian, but if I want to go home and sleep with her, that ought to be okay.
No,
and this girl's shaking her head, no, this ain't going to work. Now, if I move in with her and I do what it says, what does God say about me? I say I'm a Christian, but what am I?
Liar.
I'm a liar. I'm a liar and an adulterer. Now then, if I'm over there, what did you say, honey?
I said, and he's going to kill you.
And he's going to kill me, huh? And that's probably true. Now, that's not love, honey. You better watch that. You better remember, turn me over to Him who judges righteously. Because see, did y'all pick up that the flesh come back in there just a little bit? Is that the way we're all made? Yes. Oh, don't you run around on me, because I will kill you. I thought this woman would love me, you know. But that's the flesh in every one of us. That's the way we're made. Is that right?
Yeah.
That's why we have to have 1 John 1:9, right? And hereby we know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. Now then, if I say I know Jesus, and then when Ida comes out here and works for me, and she says, I love being out here because it's so like being in heaven to be in this place. Obviously, somebody in this place, maybe all of us in this place, is doing something right. Right, Ida? If you love being out here with all of us, we must be doing something in this love walk, right, girl? When you're out here, you feel comfortable out here, don't you?
Right.
And when she's out here, you feel comfortable too, don't you, Ferris? Because He knows that she's around people that are walking in this love walk with God. Because the Lord says, He that saith, I know Him, or Jesus, and keepeth not His commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So you come to church on Sunday, but on Monday morning, you're out there lying, stealing, you know, cheating, doing all kinds of stuff. But I'm a Christian. What's God say about you? He says, you ain't a Christian. You don't know me. Is that scary? You know, I mean, the book has some requirements, doesn't it? And are they tough? Yeah, they're tough. He that saith, I know the Lord, and keepeth not His commandments. Now, what was His commandment a while ago?
Love.
What are you supposed to do?
Love.
Love? I have to, oh, everybody? I have to love everybody?
Yeah.
I mean, but that old girl, you know, I mean, I can't stand her. Or that old guy, I just can't stand him. What's wrong? You need to get born again, right? One time I was with several pastors. We were all talking about this. Some of them were talking about some of the people in their church about how it is so hard to love them. I listened to about 30 minutes of this, and there's four or five of us. I said, guys, I have y'all's answer. What is it? I said, all y'all need to get saved. I said, the Holy Ghost shed abroad in our heart. Once we get born again, we have the love of God in our heart so we can love the brethren. So I said, if you guys are having trouble loving the members in your church, sound to me like y'all need to get saved. That didn't go over too well. But is that what it says? That's what it says. If I'm having trouble loving you, then that sounds like I need to get saved. Verse 5 and 6, let's see what it says. But whosoever keepeth his word in him, verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. He that saith he abideth in him ought himself also to walk, even as he walked. Now that's a good one, isn't it, Bill? Now then, as a son of God, or a daughter of God, what should be your walk on this earth every day? What should it be like? A love walk. Like Jesus walked. Is that right, Bill? Now then, this is like this so that everybody will know. In other words, when somebody sees Bill, they say, oh, Bill, you know that guy? Oh, yeah, what do you think about him? And man, the only thing I'd say about him, every time I run into him, he's talking to me about Jesus. I've never had anybody talk about Jesus more than this guy. You know, he's always trying to tell me something, and when I'm sick, he's always wanting to pray for me. Is that the way we should be?
Yes.
Is that the way all of us should be?
Amen.
Yeah, we should be like that. Because if you are walking in love and you lay hands on somebody that's sick and you pray for them, what's going to happen to them?
They're
going to get well. That's exactly right. If you're walking in love and you're walking in faith like God says walk, and you pray for somebody, there's going to be a healing or a miracle or something going to take place. Do you know when I learned these principles years ago and started doing my best to walk like this and walk in obedience to this word, I begin to see God do some of the most awesome miracles in the workplace.
We are going to stop for today, but we will return at our next scheduled broadcast with more teaching. If you would like to have today's broadcast in its entirety, titled, Walk in Love as Jesus Walked, or you would like to have any other Living Savior Ministries teaching on CD or DVD, we will be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. You can contact the Living Savior Ministries at 940-242-2106. That's 940-242-2106. Or you can also listen to any of the Living Savior Ministries teachings online or order them free and postpaid by going to the Living Savior Ministries website at www.tlsm.org. That's www.tlsm.org. Praise the Lord Jesus.